Blog Talk Radio.
This is a hymn for every light worker around the world, for every one of you whose voice has not been heard. This is a hymn to give you faith to rise above all the things we wish mankind had not become. This is a hymn. This is a hymn for every child living everywhere around the world, for each of you whose voice will someday soon be heard. This is a hymn to give you faith to heal mankind, to bring a love so bright its light won't be denied. This is a hymn. Acts of love, our voices will be heard. So let your love fall on all mankind, and may this hymn give you courage to shine. This is a hymn for every light worker around the world, for every one of you whose voice has not been heard. This is a hymn to give you faith to rise above all the things we wish mankind had not become. This is a hymn. This is a hymn to remind you to love. This is a hymn to remind you to love.
Hello, welcome to Lightworker Radio on this beautiful snowy eve. My name is Anita, and also my usually the host, Christina, is here. I'm in Guelph, she's in Toronto, and we'd like to welcome our very, very special guest, Joshua Shapiro, and he's in Chicago at this time. So, Joshua.
Buddy.
Hi.
Hello, everyone.
We've been very excited about interviewing Crystal Skulls Explorer, Joshua Shapiro, for a while now. And I guess I'll start with a few questions here, Joshua. And I'm wondering if we could begin with a brief bio of your first encounter with a crystal skull.
Well, I'm going to define the crystal skulls first so everybody knows what it was that I met, because it might be new unless saw the Indiana Jones.
Oh, yeah. However you feel to do this.
All right. Well, when we speak about a crystal skull, we're talking about a piece of quartz crystal that somehow, in some way, in some shape, in some time, has been put into the shape of a human bone skull. And right now, there's modern carvers who are making them. So there's thousands of them. You can go on eBay and get them. But there's other ones that are very old that have been discovered in ancient ruins. And so for those, you know, we can only speculate, you know, where they came from and how they were made and what their purpose is. for me personally, the first one that I saw was made out of amethyst quartz crystal. I'm actually looking at a painting of it, which was used for our book that came out in Brazil. We have two books. Mystery of the Crystal Skulls Revealed was the first one that came out in 1989. And then the new book is called Journeys of the Crystal Skull Explorers. It's still not ready yet, but it'll be coming out this year in a printed form. Although it has come out in three other languages besides English, which is really strange, in Europe over the past 4 years, but this year it'll be coming out. So this amethyst skull was the first one that I personally met. I saw pictures of it. I had a friend who had a metaphysical bookstore in San Jose, California, and I was just going through to visit with her, and she just pulled out these pictures of this amethyst skull. That's all it was called at the time, just the amethyst crystal skull. And then we went to an art gallery where it was being held. There was like a group of businessmen who had it. They brought it out because there was a young man that was also there, and he was purportedly quite wealthy, and I guess this group was trying to sell the skull. And so I'll just tell you a little bit about my experience, what happened to me. So then people will understand why I've dedicated over 25 years of my life to the study of these artifacts and sharing information about them, and why I believe they are perhaps some of the most important, powerful artifacts that exist that can help us to create world peace. Anyway, I was invited, to the art gallery, and I didn't know what to expect. Although I have to preface this, because I had an experience just with a picture of the skull, and that's the reason why I felt it was very important to meet it in person. What happened was there was my friend who had this bookstore. She had pictures of this amethyst skull, and so, I was just looking at it, and all of a sudden, while I was looking at the picture, I just felt like this inner earthquake inside of me, this inner vibration, very strong. And then I heard my thinking voice say, I wasn't thinking this, I just heard it in my mind, what is this artifact, what is this crystal doing out now? As if there was a part of me that knew what this crystal skull was about. And then about a half an hour later, as we were looking at the pictures in the bookstore, there was a real earthquake in Colingas, California, which must be about 150 miles south of San Jose where we were. And it was just very strange for me. I would have this inner earthquake, and then I had an outer earthquake, and I just had this strong sensing, it's probably soul wisdom or soul knowledge, that the crystal skulls were vital for the future of humanity. So, and I was told that I had a chance to meet the skull. Well, being an Aries person who loves new adventures and variety and challenges and anything that's new and exciting, I said, sure, I would love to go meet it. So then they set up this meeting at the art gallery. The skull was stored in the back, I guess in a vault, and they brought it out, and then I was allowed to touch the skull. So I touched it on the top part, and I felt with my right hand, and I felt an energy that began to move through my fingers into my hand, up through my arm, and then it kind of stopped over my right shoulder. And ever since that time, whenever I think about the skull, I see it floating behind me over my right shoulder. And, so that was the first one I met, and I got pictures of it, and I didn't know that during this period of time, this was back in 1983, I guess, in April, that I had already made a decision on a conscious level that I was going to become involved with crystal skulls. I just thought it was interesting, and I would be traveling around the country and sharing different information I collected in my travels. And so now I had a new story to tell people and some pictures to show. So that's basically how I got started.
Oh, to say the least, interesting. I was wondering if you could actually speak on your meetings with other well-known crystal skulls in the world.
Sure. Well, my favorite crystal skull, although I honor the amethyst skull, now it has a name, it's called Ami, because it really got me started.
Mm-hmm.
The other crystal skull, which I really have had nothing but very uplifting positive experiences around, has been the Mitchell Hedges crystal skull, which has now been recalled the Mitchell Hedges crystal skull of love. And the reason the name changed is because Anna Mitchell Hedges, who was the guardian of the skull, she passed away in April of 2007. And this man, Bill Holman, that she was living with, he was a very good friend of hers. He supported her in the end of her life. In her will, she gave the skull to him, and he has continued to share the skull in the way that she wanted to do it. So, consequently, last year, he went all over the place, especially after the Indiana Jones film came out. And there were a couple of times where we got to meet and travel together. So anyway, because of some documentaries that we worked on together, I met him a couple of times, and I was able to ask if I could have a private experience with the skull. Because in all the years, I'd seen the skull before, but I've never had the chance to really sit privately and do a meditation with it. There were always other people around or, you know, different things were going on. So finally, he said, okay, you can come over. And so what I did is I personally have five crystal skulls. I call them my crystal kids. And these are new skulls, all of them that have been made, but they're quite active. They're alive. They each have names. They have personalities. They have things they like, they don't like, different ways in which they help people. At this point in time, when I saw the skull, I only had three skulls. I picked up two more skulls last year, both made from amethyst. So anyway, with those three skulls, I felt that they needed to be involved with me in the session. And I put my big skull, Portal de Luz, which is about 10 pounds, almost human size, facing the Mitchell Hedges skull in the front. And then I had two smaller skulls, a rose quartz skull and another smoky quartz skull, like Portal de Luz, in the back, forming a triangle. And then Spirit had been after me, like almost the entire end of 2007, that I needed to get an MP3 player. Now, the reason for having the MP3 player was so that I could select the most favorite music, because I'm also a musician. There's actually a song that I wrote for our Crystal Skull Festivals that we've had in Europe in 2006, 2007, and I wind up playing this song usually if I have access to a guitar, you know, whenever I lecture. I feel it's a good song. So I was playing that song on my MP3 player and some other songs, but what I find for me is there's certain music that when I meditate with it, I just, you know, feel very powerful. I have a powerful energy that goes through me. So I was just kind of randomly selecting those songs and almost knew which song at which time I needed to play. And what happened to me is that normally when I meet a crystal skull, and related to experiences with crystal skulls, they're all different and unique and personal. So what I'm going to describe maybe doesn't really happen for other people. You know, there's no like set way where you can say all the time it's going to happen in a certain way. It's kind of individual for each person. Mm-hmm. Normally when I meet crystal skulls, they have like a specific personality or energy to it. But what was strange for me is when I was meditating with the Mitchell Hedges skull, I didn't get this sensing that there was a personality that was connected to the skull. I don't even know how to define it. Maybe it was a group consciousness. Maybe it was a super group consciousness. I don't know what it was that I was contacting, but it wasn't like I was in the presence of just a person. I was in the presence of an intelligence that was far greater than anything that we could imagine. But this intelligence seemed to know everything about me, and what I felt was total at peace and harmony. I mean, I was just sitting there meditating with the music, but I would have been happy to sat there for a very, very long time. I probably only did the meditation for 20 minutes, but I could have sat there for hours and I would have been perfectly content. I would not have been bored. It was almost as if I was experiencing what it was like to be in heaven. That's the only way that I can define it. It was so peaceful. It was like what I could experience in heaven. Now, this is interesting because after I had this experience, then I went with Mr. Holman to Italy for a conference there. And as soon as he brought the crystal skull out, for our host, I immediately got ill. I got sick, and I was barely able. I had to do an hour of presentation, and I had a fever while I was doing the presentation. And somehow, I rested the whole day, and I was able to have just enough energy to do my presentation, and after I finished, then I kind of like passed out. So in the second instance, when I met the Mitchell Hedges girl that year, I think I went through a transformation. That's the only thing I can tell you. It changed me somehow. It was shifting my frequency, my energy. And then what I noticed is after those two experiences, my heart chakra was much more open than it's ever been before in my whole life. I really could experience this, what it feels like, the vibration of love. And it's not just, you know, you love a person. It's just this loving energy, just this connection with everything that exists. Because all the world religions, or the major world religions, somehow, in some form, have this concept of the oneness of all things. And if we really think about what that means, it means that every person that we meet is an aspect of ourselves. And yet, as human beings, what happens is, of course, is there are certain people that we like, and there are certain people that we don't like. And so when we say we don't like somebody, are we saying there's some part of ourselves that we don't like because that person is an aspect of us?
That's right.
So that was kind of a really powerful experience I had with that crystal skull, which just happened last year. And the other thing, too, that was interesting is last year, because this profession of going out and traveling around the world and giving lectures and doing sessions with crystal skulls, you know, it's not really like a common profession. It's a very difficult thing to do, to try to figure out a way how to survive, you know, financially, and especially with all the crazy things that are going on in the world today. But for me last year, it was one of the most successful years I ever had on all levels. And it's just going to get better this year with the release of our new book, and there's some other situations that are coming out that look quite interesting, and, you know, some other projects, maybe a documentary project. We still have our feature film project. We still want to do more festivals. And, of course, we started in this month the World Peace Meditations. We had many people meditating together with their crystal skulls on the 1st of January and the 10th of January. So anyway, that was a very interesting experience with the Mitchell Hedges skull. And I still feel like whatever change it initiated inside of me, it's still going on. It's still happening. It didn't just happen in a few days. It's an ongoing process. So, next question, please.
Oh, okay. Well, I just wanted to add that the Mitchell Hedges crystal skull was originally in my part of the country, not too far from where I live, actually. And I had met and heard a few people around that had actually been with that crystal and met the lady. So that's very interesting. And also with the crystal skulls, I mean, I know you've been with, you know, some very famous ones, but just my own experiences, very loving energy, very much they have their own personalities. So, okay, let's see. How about, would you like to speak about workshops? Any workshops coming up?
Well, what's happening for me on a personal level right now is I'm preparing to move to Atlanta, Georgia. I'm in Chicago right now, as you said.
Sure.
And so I already have two activities coming up. One is in Cartersville, which is north of Atlanta, and the other one will be in Atlanta itself. The last weekend of January is Cartersville, and something in Atlanta is going to come up in February. And then I'm also talking with friends to go back to Europe. I used to live in Holland for about 6 years, so I'm looking to perhaps in May go back to Holland and England. And part of the reason workshops are going on is because I'm in the process of working on this book, Journeys of the Crystal Skull Explorers. We're working with an editor, and I'm not exactly sure how it's going to be published yet. I've been talking to different self-publishers and trying to find the right way the best way in order to get the book out. So we'll have to see about that. But that's basically what I have coming up. But of course, you know, if there's any of your listeners who would be interested to have a Crystal Skull event, of course, they certainly can feel free to contact me, because this is the way how my travels come up. People just contact me through the internet or call and say, you know, we'd really like to have something. And one of the things that we're doing now is also, it's not just myself. I have contact with some of the other, you know, Crystal Skull caretakers, and
mm-hmm.
I believe it's really important to try to create co-created events with different people. So we'll have to see how that goes.
I'm hearing a little interference. I hope no one else is. Okay.
Somebody
it's like whistling or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, actually, I was wondering, I heard that you were somewhat involved with the Indiana Jones movie.
Well, what happened with the Indiana Jones film is, I talked to all the people like myself, you know, who have been involved in the study and research and sharing information about crystal skulls. And there really wasn't anybody that actually worked with crystal skulls as far as I know. They may have talked to some people, but not the people I talked to. So there was no direct connection with the Indiana Jones film. What happened was is there were, you know, TV production companies who wanted to do documentaries. And a couple of those I was hired as a consultant.
Okay.
So, like, there's one, I think, being shown on National Geographic where I appear three times and they list me as a consultant. But the biggest thing, though, for myself and some of the other people who do the same kind of things as I do, is we felt like they really missed the mark. They didn't really cover, and neither did the film with the Indiana Jones, really what the crystal skulls are about and what we're really seeing and what kind of results we're getting from the research and the scientific tests that we're doing. So my hope is this year is to try to find a way to do a new documentary with it being based upon and being created by the people who are directly involved in researching the skulls. So we really, I had no contact with the people from the Indiana Jones film. However, after the film came out, I was very busy. I mean, it was like I was lucky if I was able to be home for more than 10 days at a time. I just kept traveling to different places. So it was a really busy year last year.
That was exciting, though. Well, sure. And then also, pardon me?
Depends if you like traveling a lot.
Oh, I do.
Well, then it would have been exciting for you, too.
Yeah. I was just also thinking of the beautiful Ning site, Crystal Skulls Oracles, that many of us belong to. And that's also a really wonderful reference for the Crystal Skulls. And just a lot of really good sharing there.
And of course, we have several websites too. I don't know if it would be appropriate to give them out or now.
Oh, sure it would, because I really wanted to ask you to do that, because I've been on your website. It's amazing. You have great products, and sure, just if you want to recite it for our listeners.
Okay, I'll recite it twice. So if you're there, you're going to have to write it down. It's not a simple site, but I'll give you an easy way to how to find it as well. The main Crystal Skull webpage we have, it's possible our site could have been the first. I don't know, because we started in 1995, is www.v-enterprises, like the Starship Enterprise with an S, .com, then a / CS for Crystal Skull, .html. So I'll repeat that. So it's www.v-j-enterprises.com/cs.html. If people go to that website, it'll take them to all the other websites we have. It'll take them to the pages about the world peace meditations we've been doing, and we really would encourage anyone who's listening to join us. You don't have to have a crystal skull to be a part of that. We've already done two meditations, like I said, but the next one is coming up February 2nd, so I'll be in Atlanta then, so I'm working to see if I can get a group of people together for that day. There's also a free ebook we have that they can find there. There's a link to the Crystal Skull Events website, which talks about the Dutch festival we did in 2006 and the Hungarian festival in 2007. And I'm looking to see if we can do a festival here in America for this year. Not sure yet. Have to see how we can do that. You know, and there's pictures there, and there's articles there, and there's references, other content. So it's really a key page. But if you didn't write it down, it's very easy to find it. Just look under my name, Joshua Shapiro, S-H-A-P-I-R-O, on Google, and Crystal Skulls, and then you'll easily find it. It should come up on the first page, I believe. So that's the way to find our kind of our websites. And we got another website too for the World Mystery Research Center, which is the center where we have done our research, which of course will be included in the new book. So
Whoa,
that's how
and where
people
is that located?
The World Mystery Research Center is located wherever it is I'm traveling.
Oh, right. Okay.
We're registered in Illinois here, but I might have to try to see if I can get it located in Atlanta, too, since I'm moving there. But, you know,
okay.
We never received donations. You know, just different people said, sure, that sounds cool. Let's do some research with crystal skulls and see energetically how they affect people, and we had access to all different kind of equipment. So that'll be covered in the new book, and, you know, we just basically give the statistical information that the machines told us, and then people can see what happens. But
Okay.
The bottom line is crystal skulls do have an electromagnetic energy field, especially when they're activated, even the new ones, because
yes.
We were using, for many of the tests, the big crystal skull I had. And then also for the Sci-Fi Channel, which did a two-hour documentary, we went to Valparaiso, Indiana, and they filmed us doing similar type of tests like I've done with other skulls, but they didn't broadcast it in the show. So those statistics will be in the new book, because I was told after it's aired, I could talk about what happened. So that was aired last May, so that's no problem. Or the other way, too, if people are listening and they just want to chat with me, we have a real easy email. Just write to crystalskullexplorers@gmail.com, and then they can write to me. So that's how people can contact me.
Sure.
So where should we go next, Anita?
Well, we have a few minutes left. Now, one thing I did notice on your site is there, and I'm not the best with names, I didn't write it down, but there was a lady that partners in your adventures?
Yes, this is my ex-wife, who I was married to for over 6 years from Holland.
Okay.
She's still the best. She will be the co-author of the new book.
Sure.
And when I went to the conference in Italy, she was there also. So, you know, she's probably, of all the people I've ever met, she has the greatest affinity for the crystal skulls. I mean, I've never seen a person hold a piece of quartz or a crystal skull in her hand, and within less than a minute, it's extremely white hot. So she has a very, very strong connection to the skull. So we're still, we work together at times. Just have to see how it goes. So that's who that lady is. That's Blue Arrow Rainbow Eagle Woman.
She's
the author of the new book, and she definitely has strong connection with the Native American energies. And, you know, we work quite well because I present more of the philosophical and factual information about the skulls with stories, and then she comes more from the heart, more of the emotional, and sometimes channels messages and things like that. So she has a different approach. Like, you know, when we went to Poland, all the Polish ladies loved her. You know, it wasn't Joshua and Blue Arrow Rainbow. It was Blue Arrow Rainbow and her husband.
Okay.
So,
well, hey.
Well, it's all right.
Sure.
What's happening now on the planet is we have to bring in more of the feminine energy anyway. That's how we're
going
to create peace.
Absolutely. So, for the balancing, yes.
definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know myself. I'm being told to go and find my amethyst crystal skull, and so
okay.
who knows where it will show up? But the second skull was just, you know, so simple. It's like the skull found me, and I feel them very much from the heart, actually. It's like, you know, you just want it, like you were describing about the Mitchell Hedges crystal skull. I mean,
uh-huh.
with my one rose quartz, I mean, I just want to sit there forever, and I just feel this huge amount of unconditional love coming from her, right? So,
well, that's what rose quartz does. I have
well,
a little
I know
rose
it's
quartz.
Rose quartz, too, but it's also the fact of it being a skull, though. It's a different, I don't know. Sometimes I don't even like to use words. It's just it's different from actually even holding a rose quartz, though, because I'm feeling actually, I guess you could say, the personality of the skull as well.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
But,
Well, they each have their own personality, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll lose. Big skull I have, you know, he seems to be the one more connected with information and ancient energies. And then little Indian princess is the rose quartz skull I have, and she's more for opening the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also have, let's see, what's the small amethyst? Is Purple Star Bright or Zippy One Eye. Now, these are the names the skulls come up with themselves, so I just honor
yeah.
it.
And
they
that
do. Skull also have a feminine. And then the other smoky quartz, which is Geronimo Golden Eagle Eye, which is definitely the Native American skull. It was when I visited with a Native Indian in Missouri, it was like that was his skull. I mean, he said the other ones are nice, but Geronimo and him have a special relationship, and he has not told me all the things that have happened. But I saw when I was there the first time, I visited him twice last year. The first time after I came back, Geronimo was completely different. He had a totally new energy inside of him, which I assume is linked to the ancestors of the tribe. So,
oh,
and
I'm sure.
I just,
yes.
Yeah. So okay. This is wonderful. Part of other people who you know are caretakers like you are. This is part of what's important to do with the crystal skulls is as you're traveling to expose them to many different frequencies of energy, because
oh.
what they'll do is store that, and then, you know, you never know. As you're traveling, those energies and frequencies will be given to the appropriate person. And there was one other comment you made, Anita, that was quite true. We do not pick these crystals. They
uh-huh.
pick us.
Yeah.
Well, my kids all selected me as their papa, and they know that I'm going to be traveling and sharing them. And I think at this point right now, other people are working more with my crystal skulls than I am. And I think the reason for that is because when you have them around you all the time, you just integrate with their energy.
That's
and,
right. Yeah.
You know, so you don't have to, like, every night meditate with them and, you know, always work with them. Sometimes, you know, I just leave them out and let them do their thing. And then if there's something we need to do together, they'll call me. I'll hear in my mind's voice, I'll hear somebody say, oh, you know, we should do a meditation tonight or something. Or like even in the peace meditations that we did, we had three different times that we set it up so people anywhere in the world could conceivably join us.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think for the two times we did that I would do the meditation because I'm not, I like to meditate, but I'm not one of those people. I know there's some people who they just love to stay in meditation and they can go for a long time. I'm more of an action person. I want to do things in the physical world. Like Captain Kirk, that make a difference,
all
that
right.
will create, that will be a catalyst to wake people up or, you know, create some kind of project that brings all kinds of talented people together. This is what really motivates me a lot these days. But
sure.
for those 2 days we did the meditation, there were three times each day. I did them all, and each one was different, and a different skull would say, okay, for this one in the morning, you should work with me. And then a different skull would say, for the one in the afternoon, work with me. And then another skull would say, work with me in the evenings. And I actually did little meditations even before the day started. I felt like I had to just to set up the energy for it. And again, if people come to that page that I gave them and they go into the World Peace Meditation, we did a really interesting experiment. We said, we called to all the crystal skull caretakers in the world that we could find and said, let's all work together on these days and see what happens. And there were some amazing stories that I received. I put them on the website so people can also read that too. Many people said it was really powerful. So if people want to kind of experience what's going on, they should join us on February 2nd, which is a Monday. So we'll be setting up some time so people can do the meditation in the evening or in the early morning as well.
Okay, so that's I'm going to make a point of that one. I'll actually be in Arizona, so that would be a beautiful time to do meditation as well. Okay. Well, it's just really been an honor and a real pleasure to hear of your beautiful adventures and commitment to these beautiful beings. And I call them beautiful beings because I feel totally blessed since I've had my two. And I can imagine, you know, what they're doing for the world on a global level. So, again, thank you so much for sharing. And yeah, I'm sure many people will be in contact with you who have listened here today.
Well, I'm very happy to talk to anybody who has an interest, and I thank you for the opportunity to talk about these crystal friends. And if people come to the website, you know, they can stay in touch when the new book comes out, because I'm putting in there everything. Whatever you can imagine that's connected with crystal skulls, we've got it in the new book. I'm really excited to get it out finally in English instead of Polish or Hungarian or Dutch. So if there's any interest at all, or also, too, if people want to get their own, we do have contacts with carvers in Brazil. We really like the Brazilian carved skulls and the energies that the quartz has that comes from Brazil, so we're also able to help people with that, too. We actually have a web page where you just fill out a form and goes right to the carvers there, and then they can help you. So, you know, whatever we can do, we're here, ready, or if people would like to bring, you know, an event to their area, we can discuss it as well.
All righty. Great. Yeah. Okay, so if you want to stay online with us, we're going to move in to do a couple other things here. And actually, Christine, I want to do like a community news blog that I mentioned before.
Sure.
And, what?
Hello. I said sure. Hello.
Oh, okay. I know
just manning
you're there.
The switchboard. I'm just manning the switchboard.
Alrighty. Okay. So right now, actually, I'd like to speak on behalf of a very, very amazing group. It's called the Gathering Thunder Foundation, and I'm going to read something that my good friend who heads the foundation, she sent me something that I could read to our listeners. So, the Gathering Thunder Foundation, based in Western Michigan, is headed by author and spiritual teacher Denise Iwanu. I hope I said her name right. Board members include elders from the Mohawk, Lakota, and Utah nations. Their mission is alleviation of poverty and the preservation of the culture and sacred traditions of the indigenous people of North America. It is staffed entirely of volunteers, and any administrative costs are absorbed by the board of directors. Therefore, every penny donated is used to directly benefit the communities in which they serve. Beginning in 2005, as an exchange of gifts between friends in West Michigan to the Porcupine District of the Pine Ridge Lakota Reservation of South Dakota, it has increasingly grown as a network of giving for families in need. For the last 3 years, in the month of December, both communities have worked together to coordinate the delivery of semi-loads of warm clothing, food, and household items for the reservation. Currently, the Gathering Thunder Foundation is working to help families cover heating expenses that would otherwise lose service due to inability to pay. The vision of the Gathering Thunder Foundation has expanded to include the construction of a cultural preservation center on Pine Ridge Reservation and the creation of Red Buffalo Recovery Centers throughout the West. To see a glimpse of their work, please visit www.gatheringthunderfoundation.org. And also, there's an amazing video. If you Google on YouTube, Gathering Thunder Foundation, you will see a very beautiful video that another good friend of mine, Katrina, had put together for the foundation. And when you go on the site, you know, there's the donation button there, and it says exactly that you can pay, you know, as low as $5, and it all adds up, and it all goes for a very good cause. So, thank you.
Thanks, Linda. I know that's important and special to you. That's wonderful.
Well, it's just good that we all support each other on Mother Earth. Take care of each other.
Well, I think Joshua's gone, but I had a thought as I was listening to him, and that was wonderful, a great interview, and I really enjoyed having him there and everything he shared with us. And I had this thought before, you know, because we're going to do a little bit of sound work and it's also maybe listen to some of your beautiful music, but I had this thought when he was there with the crystals and maybe he would, you know, participate, but I think he's gone.
No, cool.
Maybe another time. I know, it just came into my mind. I thought, you know, he's got those powerful crystals there that we could sort of all together at this time. But I know, you know, it doesn't matter, even if he's not physically online anymore, that he'd be part of it. So.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. That's really cool. Well, it's nice to be back. We've been away for a while and doing our own thing, but it's nice to connect here. I really want to give you the opportunity to talk about your CD, and I'd like to play one song from it if we can, because I really would like our listeners to hear it, because you're an amazing musician, you know, channeler, and well, you did this in collaboration with Laird
mm-hmm.
Orr, and I would like, you know, maybe if you could just talk about it a bit. It's called Chance for Change, and the title is Emergence, right? Chance for Change,
yeah.
Did I get
yeah.
that right? Yeah, and then I'm going to play that song, but maybe just talk a little bit about it, because I really want people to know about your music and the work that you're doing.
Okay, sure. Well, let's see. I guess to begin with, I basically started to go to Laird's sound meditation, even 2 years ago, and slowly but surely I would, you know, bring my drum and start chanting along with Laird, and one thing led to another, and we just looked at each other one day and said, hey, why don't we do a CD or something like that, and so we were blessed by meeting an engineer. Let's just say that we were really blessed, because for this CD, we would receive these chants intuitively, and then he had to put music behind it. So it's something that, you know, Mark had never done before, but it was just a wonderful experience. And I received a cymbal for the front cover, and we're just.
Oh,
you know,
did you do that?
What's that?
I didn't know you did that. I was going to ask you, did you actually do that, the symbol on the cover? The cover is beautiful as well.
Yeah, and because, you know, I get symbols in that all the time, but I'll admit I'm not so artistically accurate. And my wonderful friend Denise Redman was able to, you know, pull the symbol together and make a very professional job of the whole CD. So, yeah, I really appreciated that.
Well, it's wonderful, and I love it, and I play it in my car all day long while I'm driving. You know, it's music that will wake you up and shake you up and clear you out and activate you. So I think it's very important music, and you know, really should share it with everyone. And how about I play the, I guess, the song, the name of the CD called Emergence. And we'll play that and let have our listeners get an idea and a feeling of the work that you're doing, the music that's coming through.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll play that. And then afterwards, we're going to do, because Lightworker Radio, I'll just say very quickly, it's wonderful. We have all these guests, and we're gonna continue to do that here and there, but we also really want to do sound work and sound healing work, and we really want to put that out there for everyone, because that's the whole purpose. You know, we do it for ourselves, but we do it for everyone else. And I think that's, we're also going to, you know, use Lightworker Radio as a platform for us. So hopefully we can bring you more of our own sound work. And we're going to do a little bit tonight, right, Anita?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to play Emergence right now. We just had everybody to relax and tune into the music and feel it. And if things come up, just let them go and flow with it.
Oh.
Oh. It always takes me, makes me so expansive. And, you know, I told you all the time, I listen to it all the time in the car but as well. But it's very expansive music. So try to listen to the whole CD, which is wonderful. And I do recommend it. We should quickly tell them where they can actually purchase your CD, Anita.
Okay, well, there's my website, and for some reason, I think it's www.web.love-light-change.com.
What do you mean you think?
No,
it's Love Light Change.
It's not, it, because it's not...
Have they changed it?
It's a web... You know what I mean. It's that... web.
I know, but it's love light. It's love-light-change.webs.com.
Okay, that's what I mean. Sometimes I mix that up.
Okay.
Or you could email me at transformation2012@hotmail.com. I can mail one very easily as well to you.
Mm-hmm. And we do have it in our ELM, Earth Light Work Mission store.
That's
which
right,
you can, yes. Yes, you can also purchase that straight through our web store on earthlightmission.com. So it's there as well. And, you could know. I really recommend it. So we have, like, about 8 minutes left, and I'm really feeling, a lot is really going on in the cosmos lately, and such changes and the frequencies that are coming in. And I really think that, you know, we could do a little bit of sound work here just to sort of help everyone to assimilate it, because it really is a powerful time that we're going through right now.
Yeah, I know.
So, and I'm definitely been feeling it for sure. And as I know the rest of us are, because we're all one, and in some way different for everybody, but we're here to share and assist. And, okay, so... I have my dolphin rattle.
Yeah,
and we have your drums. And I think you said there's a couple of chants, though, that you wanted to specifically do, right?
Yeah, they're like beginning chants,
okay.
Honoring chants. And then I received a mantra this morning when I was doing my onyx foot bath. It was quite lovely, actually.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have about 7 minutes, so we'll just go through that, and then we'll sort of, then say goodbye at the end and let people just flow with that. Yeah. Hmm.
Okay, well, I'll start with a few of those chants. Thank you. Christina.
Yeah.
Are you there? I couldn't hear you. I thought you were coming in.
No, I was like honoring what you were doing. We have like 1 minute. We have 1 minute left, and we're going to do some sound shows after this. We're just going to do a dedicated full hour because the time goes by really fast. So we're really going to end right at this moment, but thank you very much. And do a hue on the way out, say goodbye to everybody,
sure.
And send our love. Okay?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Blessings of the one heart.
All right. Blessings.
You.